Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast.
Who would not want a luck dragon?
I suppose I would.
Guys, like, what kind of movie is this?
You keep talking insane words, and I'm not sure they mean anything to me, but whatever.
I mean that never-ending story is the best. The best of the best.
Fair enough. Fair enough. There it is. There it is.
Yes.
Somebody's decided it's time for us to get to work.
Yes.
All right.
Stretch.
So we're at work. We're at work. Hey, everybody. It's Kai. Make Me Smart Daily, the Monday edition, trying to make today make sense. Molly is off. Kimberly Adams is back by popular, oh so popular demand. Hello.
Aw, thanks.
What? Yeah, oh, come on. They loved you. They loved you.
I got some really nice Twitter messages on Friday from people who were like, oh, Molly's out. Are you coming back? And I felt very loved.
That's right. There you go. There you go. See, our listener base is very engaged, and they pay attention to who is talking at them, for sure.
Good. All right. Good. So do you want to go first or shall I?
I will go first just because it's oh, man. So, all right. So cards on the table. This was a tough weekend at the Rizdahl house. It was 100 degrees here in Southern California. Kids are done with, you know, online camps, and they're done with me. Yes. Yes. They are done with me. And so it was rough. And at some point we had a family conversation of, when is this going to be over? And if you look around at the numbers and how things are going, it's not going to be over anytime soon because we all know what to do. We just can't do it most, or some of us. And that prevents most of us from having lives. Right. And I say that because California Governor Gavin Newsom today, and let's remember the state of California is, if you made it a country, it's like the sixth biggest economy on the planet. Gavin Newsom said, all right, all this reopening stuff, let's roll it on back. Restaurants and hair salons and gyms and all of that good stuff. You ain't doing that no more. I'm glad he is, honestly, but it's also a little bit defeating, you know? And it's just, holy cow, man. Everybody else must be hang on. Most people out there are probably more stressed about this than I am because my life, while the same day in and day out, is not particularly difficult. But there are people for whom this is incredibly hard on a lot of levels. And we just have to do the right thing. It's craziness. Wear a mask. Stay
home. Wear a mask. Wash your hands. Stay at home if you can. I mean, I feel like I'm on a loop saying the same stuff since February. And I had to. Yeah. I have started to have the conversations with my family and friends again that I was having at the end of February, and where I was saying, "You guys, this is serious."
Yep.
Start to take precautions, and I'm like, and I'm back to staying at home again. But what's really there's so many levels of downer, namely the death and illness and tragedy around that. But, you know, since we're business and economy people, I mean, think about what this is doing to people and businesses, because you got unemployment and now you're off unemployment because you went back to work. And now you have to go back on unemployment, but now you're not going to get that extra $600. And there's no more, in a couple of weeks, protections against evictions in many places. Yeah. So that's really bad if you're a worker. If you're a small business, you had to shut down, you lost all your money, you finally got to a place where you could reopen, you adapted your business, doing takeout, whatever, and you're making a little bit of money, you got your PPP loan, fingers crossed, hopefully, you're going to find a way to carry through. And now you get this, and you got to shut down again. And that's going to do it for a lot of these businesses.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And that's where, look, I talked about this early on, where some businesses just aren't going to be around anymore. And that kind of went away as the PPP loans came and people figured it out. And you had the breweries and the small businesses and whatever, figuring out curbside pickup. And yep. and they can't do it twice. They cannot do it twice.
No.
You know?
I mean, liquidity, like just having cash was already such an issue. Right. And then the PPP loans, you know, you had to bring your staff back. But that only worked if you had something for the staff to do. And right. they're changing the rules about it and trying to be more flexible. But, I mean, we're heading into Congress needing to get to a place of making a decision on what the next round of stimulus or relief package is mm-hmm. going to be. And a lot of people here in D.C. are scratching their heads, like, what can we do? Because none of it really matters if people don't wear masks and don't follow
right.
health guidance. Right. It just doesn't.
Right. This, right.
Fiscal policy and monetary policy will only go so far.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Anyway, so that's mine. Sorry to bring you down, but that's mine.
No, it's okay. Down is a place that I've become very comfortable being in, but
yes. Yes.
I'm learning to adapt and you know, like you, I'm in a very fortunate and blessed situation, and so there's a lot of things that those of us who do still have jobs and are still working can do to help others. And so I'm focusing on that and, you know, mm-hmm. volunteering and right. doing what you can. And that makes me feel better. So what also, yeah. this is not a make me smile, but it's definitely one of the shake your head moments. My news fix is this story that came yes. out over the weekend about my hometown of St. Louis. Yeah. And I love my people, but some of them are extra, we'll say.
Okay.
In particular, this couple that during some of the Black Lives Matter protests decided to wield weapons, guns, at protesters yeah. that really had zero interest in them whatsoever until they started pointing weapons at them. And they were making all of these accusations about how the protesters were breaking down their gate and invading mm-hmm. their property and threatening them and all these things that just really are not backed up by the evidence.
By fact.
That remains.
Y'all have surely seen the pictures, right? Sorry, just to remind yes. people, right? It's the husband and wife, man and woman. He had what looked like an AR-15, but yeah, the McCloskeys. And she had that pistol that she was waving around like she'd never seen a gun before in her life, right? So just, I'm sure you've seen those pictures and videos.
Yeah, they were everywhere. So the glorious St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I know I always talk about the Washington Post as my hometown paper, but the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is my original hometown paper because I'm from St. Louis. Yay. They did this amazing story on this couple over the weekend. And I say it's amazing for a couple of reasons. Number one, they didn't actually get to interview the couple, but they used open records and dug up all of these lawsuits going back decades. This couple has sued everybody. Yeah. And they pulled all of these quotes from the lawsuits and the depositions and the testimonies. And it's such a tapestry of bonkers. Some of these cases.
At one point, tapestry of bonkers.
At one point, they like destroyed the beehives of this group of kids yeah. at like the Jewish Central Reform Congregation because they were trying to like use these beehives to get honey for Rosh Hashanah, and they knocked over the beehives and left a note saying that they did it and that they'd better the congregation better clean it up or else. It's just like,
yeah, that was my favorite part. You better clean it up.
Sued his yeah. dad because the piece of land that he had promised him on a birthday card as a kid, he hadn't actually signed over to him. And he tried to use a birthday card wow. as evidence of a land transfer. I mean, it's wild. Wow. It's worth reading, and it's so detailed. And, you know, St. Louis has a lot of wonderful things about it, but you just sometimes I'm just amazed at my people.
We will, of course, put it in the show notes page. Tony Wagner on the Slack. Couldn't believe this story, man. What an exhausting way to live your life, which happens to be completely, completely true. It's got to be just tiring, right?
But apparently very profitable.
Yeah, well, you know, they got a house, a fancy house in that fancy neighborhood, right? That's what they were able to do.
Yes, yes, they do.
All right, so, shall we? Who's driving today?
Yeah.
Who's on the other end? There we go. All right, you go first because yours is a biggie and mine's kind of quirky. So go.
Well, I love how both of our make me smiles are kind of like the make me smile because you have to just either laugh or cry at some of the things that have been going on in the world. Mine is that here in D.C., my current hometown, finally, they have changed the name of the they are changing the name of the Washington football team. They are resigning or retiring the old name that is a racial slur. And I say is a racial slur, not is considered a racial slur or is considered by some to be a racial slur or is thought to be a racial slur. No, it's a racial slur. Hmm. And so they're retiring that name and they're working on finding a new one. But it's taken such a long time and it's so controversial here in D.C. because so many of the people.
Seriously? Like even today, now, given everything?
Oh, incredibly controversial.
That's insanity. Wow.
So many of the people who are originally from here really just feels it is a very strong attachment to the team and the name and are big fans and have defended it in what is a strange amount of cognitive dissonance because a lot of the defenders of this team are African Americans, not all of them, and obviously the owner of the team who has the biggest influence in all of this and who dug his heels in for years is not African American. But you know, a lot of people take it very personally that it's sort of like an attack on the hometown team by these sort of outsiders who are transients in their city, and it is very controversial. But it is still a racial slur, and you get this weird dynamic because, I mean, for example, when I'm on the dating apps and things like that, I would automatically swipe left if I see any kind of paraphernalia because I just because I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
But other people are just like, oh, you're taking it too seriously. And it's a huge thing. Anyway, long overdue. It made me smile, although it did make me sad, which I know is not the purpose of this segment, because a lot of Native American folks who I follow on Twitter today were saying, hey, it's a great day for us, but also not fun to see all these news organizations printing and saying a racial slur on the air or in newspapers. Yep. So kind of harmful and triggering
for
them.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
But
that's totally fair.
That's
a good point.
Done.
The name is done. Okay, so mine... also one of those shake your head things. There is a new law being written by Representative Sylvia Garcia from Texas. It is called, and I kid you not, that spot where you're allowed to, you know, refer to this act by the name of blah, blah, blah. It says, this act may be cited as the Wear Your Mask Act, and it makes mask wearing mandatory on federal property and in federal facilities until, and here's the kicker, the requirements of this section shall cease to have effect on the date on which the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases determines and publishes a notification of such determination that the requirement to wear a mask is no longer necessary to prevent transmission of SARS-CoV-2. Of course, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases is Tony Fauci, who's currently on the outs with the president of the United States and has been pulled off the air and is being now... Oppo research is fake. Oppo research is being promulgated to impugn his reliability. But here's Representative Garcia saying, "Yeah, we're gonna wait till Tony Fauci says we don't have to wear masks anymore on federal property." And I just love that. The wear your mask.
I love all of these pieces of legislation that are effectively just trolling.
Yeah.
Because, of course, this is not going to get passed, but it makes a statement. It makes a point. But, yeah, that was pretty I definitely chuckled and smiled when I saw that.
That's a story to do, actually. All the you know, economics-related things that just get promulgated for the hell of it. And
well, I mean, it's also sort of like putting your marker in the sand. And sometimes these bills will sit until an administration changes or for later bundling into another piece of legislation that has nothing to do with it, but they can latch on pieces of it or something like that. So they do serve a purpose.
That's true.
All right.
Says the Washington correspondent who knows what's what. There you go. That's why we are on, Pete. That's why we are on. All right. All right. That's it for the Daily Show. Not the Daily Show, but our Daily Show. Yes. Yes. Well, come on. Value add. Tomorrow, we're back with the big show, Tuesday. It's going to be super interesting. Rebecca Nagel is going to be here to talk about the Supreme Court decision from last week about Oklahoma, what it means for tribal sovereignty and tribal rights. I recommend to you her podcast. It's called This Land, I think, from the gang at Crooked Media. Check it out. It's really good, and it's also cool history, if that helps. All of this stuff is really cool history. In the meanwhile, your questions, comments, make me smart at marketplace.org. Voicemails, emails, we'll take them all. And we'll be back tomorrow.
Yep. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. Digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Hethcote is the video producer, and Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And thank you to writer-producer Erica Phillips.
Daniel Ramirez was making the magic happen down in the studios in downtown LA today. Our theme music, come on, Kai, was composed by Ben Holliday and Daniel. The executive director of On Demand is Tar Nieves, also senior producing this week, I think, yes. And the senior vice president and general manager is Deborah Clark. And there we go. Boom. Done.
Yes. So definitely add Neverending Story to your list.
Neverending Story. All right.
It's very important.
Okay. Is that like Friday night kind of movie, or is it like a weeknight? I mean, you know.
I kind of want you to watch it like right away, because I want to hear your feedback while we're still like talking on a structured way every day.
I'm not sure that's going to happen, to be honest with you. I'm just saying.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.